Let's take them back. Uh-huh. Coming up, I was confused. My mommy kissing a girl. Confusion occurs coming up from the cold world. Daddy ain't around, probably out committing felony. My favorite rapper used to sing, check out my melody. I wanna live good, so shit, I sell dope for a full finger ring. One of them gold ropes. Nana told me if I pass, I get a sheepskin coat. If I can move through packs, I get the hat. Now that'd be dope. Tossed and turned in my sleep that night. Woke up the next morning, niggas stole my bike. Different day, same shit, ain't nothing good. In the hood, I run away from this bitch and never come back if I could. Needed a love. The underdogs on top, and I'm gon' shine, homie, until my heart stops.
Go ahead, MVP. I'm Raps MVP, and I ain't going nowhere. Sneaky, get to know me. Get
it, love it. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, y'all. It is comedian Tanola Oliver, and we on the mic this morning with 21 questions. It is the Making of a Mogul podcast, where the dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately, baby. And so we are on a mission to ask Curtis 50 Cent Jackson 21 questions, right? And so it was really, 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 really hard for me not to go ahead and put three questions in one episode on, not yesterday, because yesterday we had the candy shop open mic, but the episode before that, which was the day before yesterday, which would have been Wednesday, right? And so we back on here with 21 questions. Let's talk a little bit first. Then we'll get around to asking Curtis 50 Cent Jackson what it'll be. Three of 21 questions, right? You know, 21 is, it has a significance in my life, right? And, you know, me and Curtis, we got a lot in common, right? My 21st birthday, I was boxing for my 21st, the day before my 21st birthday, I was boxing on West 3rd Street. That's what I was doing for my 21st birthday, right? It was quite the event, I say that. And so, you know, the first question I wanted to ask 50 on day one was, where does he put the pain, right? And as creatives, right, I keep telling y'all that creativity, it comes from a special space, right? A special space that people have to pull from in order to be creative. And when you are a natural creative and you're in a space where you are allowed to flow freely, right? In your talent and what you're gifted to do is fluid, right? You can go all night, right? Flowing fluidly, right? In the talent that God has given you. And so I had an event coming up, and it's been such a long time since I've been on stage, right? So I was just anticipating it, and I miss it. It was an amazing atmosphere. People was out there, you know, just the right vibe and the right energy in the place. And so we had a good time, and I'm looking forward to the next one next month. What is next month, baby? It's Juneteenth month, baby. It's a national holiday. And whose birthday is on a national holiday? None other than your girl, comedian Tanola Oliver, baby. And so, I'm gonna attempt to make it a shebang, the bang, bang, right? Get the Candy Shop Comedy Club in full swing, right? And so last night was kind of a teaser for what's to come, right? And Cincinnati was in the house. The Nasty Natty was in the house. Dayton, Ohio. Dayton was in the house, baby. And Cleveland, Ohio pulled up on me. And I was shocked. Do you hear what I'm saying? Came all the way from Cleveland. And I ain't got nothing but love for you, baby, right? Only people that wasn't there was Columbus, right? And I thought me and Columbus had called it truth. So that's what I thought, me and Columbus was all right. And so the next time we're going to see if we could get Columbus to pull up on us. And so let's talk a little bit. You know, we know the Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. He comes from Jamaica, Queens, New York, right? And this is what I love about 50 is that me and 50 got a lot in common. I keep telling y'all that. Because he come from Jamaica, Queens, New York, he has a palate for diversity, right? And so I don't come from Jamaica, Queens, New York, but, you know, they call me an Oreo. And so they say I'm black on the outside, I'm white on the inside. But I was cultivated. I grew up in a hood, but I was cultivated in predominantly Caucasian environments, right? And with that, you know, came a love for diversity, because that black and white binary is something special, right? And so it just caused me to seek out other cultures, right? And so when I was in elementary school, I had a close friend that was Asian. I don't even know if people know or not, but I used to teach in a college. And I was the teacher that all of the Asian students would request because I treated them with respect, with humanity, and with kindness. You know, I didn't treat them like they was on borrowed time on U.S. soil, right? And so, and then, of course, I have many, many, many African friends. I love my African friends, right? And so just have a palate for culture and diversity and seeing it work all in one space, right? Because I believe like the art of comedy is just diversified, and you get to see when you pull all them different cultures up on stage, you really get to see the world, right? In a different light. Because essentially what it is it is people transforming their pain. And so you get to see, and it don't necessarily, all experiences are not necessarily associated with pain, but oftentimes if we talk about it, then it means that it has had some severity of impact in our lives, and we've decided to cultivate it into a comedical format, right? And so it's always, you know, because I'm a people scientist, right? And so it's always interesting for me to see how different cultures of people articulate their own experiences, right? And so there that is. I like to see people articulate their own experiences, but oftentimes so I like to see people articulate their own experiences and bring some light to how they perceive the world through the lens and perspective of their own experiences. And so on that note, or to that, excuse me, caveat, this is the question that I want to ask Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. I know that he had a really, really good relationship with his grandmother and his grandfather. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not going to tell his story, because I think it is a disdain to an individual when we get on our platform and try to regurgitate their story. I believe people's story belongs to them. And every time, and listening to a person tell their story is like reading the Bible, right? Every time you read the Bible, You get a different connotation from the same text, right? Because the Bible is the transforming word. It's one of the only books that that is transformational to the life of individuals, right? That has transformational power, right? To bring people to salvation. And so listening to people's testimony and listening to their life story is just the same. You hear them tell the same story, but each time they tell it with a different light and a different perspective, because as we age, we begin to perceive our experiences differently, right? And so it's not that a person is changing the story. It's that as they mature and as different experiences come into their life, then they begin to see things that they didn't see before about the experiences that they have had throughout their matriculation in life. And so I realized that one of the things that Curtis 50 Cent Jackson and I have in common is that he adores his grandmother and his grandfather, and he had a very close relationship with them. He talks about his mom a little bit, and you know, and it's obvious that it is a source of pain for him, right? And so typically, when you encounter a man that has a broken relationship with his mother, and again, I'm not saying he has a broken relationship with his mom. I'm saying, based on my own experiences and listening to Curtis 50 Cent Jackson tell stories about his mother, then it is my perception as a people scientist that there is some brokenness that either still exists or used to exist within him concerning his mom. And so oftentimes that can be a source of contention, right? As we progress in life, right? And so in comparison, I also hear him talk about his son's mother. I guess that's the, well, I'm gonna say that for the next episode, right? It's hard to keep one question on this damn thing. So anyhow, my question for Curtis 50 Cent Jackson today is, how did your perception of your mother, how did that play a part in your success professionally and in your personal relationships, right? How did it play a part in your ability to be able to relate to, and it's not just about women, right? Like, the mother is the stable of compassion. She is the stable of activating, nurturing instincts, right, within an individual. Whether be it a man or a woman, the mother's godly responsibility is to nurture and to show compassion and to show acceptance and things of that nature, right? And based on your relationship with your mother and some of the experiences that I have heard you talk about, how has that relationship affected you in business, and how has it affected your personal relationships? And I have a lot I could say, right? I could pull my own perspective and my own experience into it and begin to articulate from a perspective that I think that you could relate to, right? But I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear you express, and here and now. Here's the thing too, right? About these questions. So I am a scientist. I'm a people scientist, and so if at any point I pose a question that will trigger trauma in your life, right? Opt out, right? And that's actually the advice that I gave to T.I. and Tiny Son in our interview on another platform. And before we stopped the interview, I wanted him to know that he did not have any responsibility to bear the legacy of his mother and his father, right? And that's a strange statement, right? Because as parents, particularly those of us that always have our children at the forefront of our mind, we create legacy, right, for our children, not for them to have to bear the burden of it, but to bring some legitimacy to their existence, particularly us as Black people, because we have been denied the right to exist in certain spaces, right? And so when we talk about us as Black people creating legacy, I don't think any of us have the intent, and this is me speaking, right, for the masses, and maybe if you do see it the other way, maybe this will open up your perspective to see it from a different angle, so that you don't put so much weight on your children to carry the baton of who you are, right? And so while our kids have our DNA and they have some reflection of who we are within their existence, they still deserve the right and the honor and the privilege to cultivate their own personalities and their own talents of who God has called them to be. So it is our responsibility as parents to steer our kids gently when we know that they are not operating at their full potential, right? And again, that's gently, right? Ultimately, it is their decision. But anyhow, I told King that he should not worry about having to carry the legacy of his parents, right? And that if any time he finds himself in an interview that makes him feel like he would do a disservice if he answered the question to his mother or his father, if it felt like dishonor, right, to the legacy of his parents or to the legacy of his family, that all he has to do is opt out. You don't have to answer every question that everybody asks you, right? As a human being, you have the right to ignore what you don't want to respond to, right? So I'm saying all that to say, Curtis, that I would not be offended, right, if there is anything that I ask and I'm saying it, right, that if it triggers trauma, that you opt out, right? We don't have to revisit dark spaces in our life. And I'm not making the assumption that it is a dark space. However, if it causes you to pull from a part of you, of your cognition and your remembrance and your memories that does not feed to the healthy and positive side of who you have cultivated yourself to be, you just opt out. But based, this is Mother's Day weekend, right? And so I would be remiss not to talk about the dynamic of mothers. And I think it's really hard. Everybody knows I have three very essential men in my life, And I often compare my relationship with my son looking and glancing at their relationship with their mothers, and whether that is from a view of what I want to do or a view of how I should parlay, you know, my parenting as a mother. They all three are examples, right? And so I told one of them, the Lord had given me a message, right? And I told one of them something very significant and very intimate that I heard from the Lord about their mom. And I know that it shifted how they seen themselves, because that relationship is very important. And I think not that he didn't know, right? But I think he needed that reminder, right? And so fast forward to today and this question, right, to Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, how does the perception of how you've seen your relationship with your mother, how did that affect you relationally? And how did that affect you? You know, I'm hoarse because I acted a fool last night. So my voice is coming. You know, my voice is shaking anyway. I'm really straining myself to talk this morning, is what I'm saying. And so how did that affect you the personal dynamics of your relationship? And how did it affect how you see yourself in a boardroom, right? And I notice, right? I notice. Yeah, I'm gonna say that question for the. It's hard to only put one question on this damn thing. All right, so Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, this is 21 questions with the Making of a Mogul podcast with your girl, your one and only girl comedian, Tanola Oliver. I love you on top, baby, and I'll see you soon. Peace.